it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks once again for your company. New Horizons is the weekly program from Blind Citizens Australia, and recently Blind Citizens Australia held its national convention in Melbourne. We've got Steve Richardson with us. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Vaughan.
Now, Steve, the first workshop we had was on study for blind and vision impaired people, but perhaps in some ways more importantly, certainly for a broader cross-section of the community, is the workshop that was held on blindness and self-confidence. What were your views on that?
We talked a lot about some of the ways in which blind people could increase their self-confidence, and this was ranging around a lot of things from social anxiety to mobility to just being empowered as blind people. And I think these are the kinds of forums where people are, you know, just sort of encouraged to be open, let their guard down, have an honest discussion about where they are and look at others and go, hey, it's okay that I'm not the super blindy, or that I'm not necessarily at the same, level of mobility or confidence, because we all have our down days and our down moments, and it's a good opportunity to open up discussion around those issues.
Mm. Perhaps we could just touch briefly on the annual general meeting. We had the report about the election of the directors, three of whom are actually returning to the board. Fiona Woods, Prue Watt, and Mick Baker. A new member of the board is Helen Ferris, Steve. Did you get the chance to talk to her over the convention?
Given that there were 150 people there, I made it my effort to try and talk to as many as I could. With a lot of them, they were only brief discussions. But I know Helen has been a long-term member of a BCA. I've on and off known her for around about 20 years. I think I ran into her at the first convention I attended back then, and I know that she was a very vigilant supporter of the organisation then, and she will probably do a really good job now.
150 people, Steve, that's quite staggering, isn't it?
I believe it's the largest convention to date, and added to that, of course, a significant number of people who followed the stream. My understanding is that they were saying that it was potentially another third again.
The internet stream's become a very valuable thing for Blind Citizens Australia. We stream all of the conventions and the public meetings and things like that, because of course there's a lot of people who are blind or vision impaired who for whatever reason aren't able to attend these events, whether it's because they have other illnesses that preclude them from leaving the house, or whether perhaps they live in country and regional areas. Now, Steve, speaking of country and regional areas, and I know we're skipping ahead a little bit now, you attended a workshop on living in the country.
I did, Vaughan, on the Sunday morning. I thought that it might be interesting for me, because one of the things that I would eventually like to do is move out of the city. Now, there are a number of benefits to living in the city. Better public transport, getting around, is just a little bit easier, better accessibility to footpaths and things. And I have I actually have a bone condition, so good access to footpaths is an important thing for me. But I have thought about eventually moving to a rural area. And I just wanted to have a chat with some people about the pitfalls, the good things, the bad things, things maybe to be aware of if I were to ever do that. Other things that we talked about was connecting. One of the important things about living in a regional area is being able to connect not just with your community peers, but other blind people. And where the nearest blind person might be, say, 300 or 400 kilometres away, what are the best ways to communicate? And a couple of people said that there were some unusual things happened. Like one of them had gone to her local swimming pool and discovered another vision impaired person simply by virtue of the fact that she had left a badge on the edge of the pool saying blind person swimming. And if she hadn't noticed that, she may not have found this person. And as it turned out, they connected, went and had lunch, and became really good friends. So you can connect with others in a variety of ways, I think, and it just just a matter of sometimes finding out the one that's going to work for you.
And one of the ways in which lots of blind people connect, of course, is through the internet programs such as New Horizons and Soundabout, which is a program that that you work on, Steve. They come through the internet. And we had a talk by Jonathan Mosen about the use of technology. I found that one particularly interesting.
Yeah, Jonathan is an interesting guy. He's been working with this sort of stuff for many, many years. Of course, he's had many books published and he's designed a lot of podcasts and tutorials around the use of the iPhone and how VoiceOver integrates with it. So it was really interesting to hear what Jonathan had to say. And his wife, Bonnie, was also involved in a quite interesting forum around employment.
It was on the Sunday morning. I found that one particularly interesting as a person who was employed. They talked about some tips for blinded, vision impaired people, not just to get new jobs, but to maintain the jobs they already have, particularly as your vision worsens or as the requirements of the job change, the technology changes, etc., etc., and how important it is to maintain relationships with people around you in order to make sure that you're in a position to advocate for yourself and to continue your employment or indeed to get another job because there is a significant number of blinded, vision impaired people who are out of work in Australia.
Yes, I believe the figure that I heard somewhere was around about 80%. So that's in most forums, that would be a cause for national shame. I mean, it's amazing.
One of the other things that's a huge cause for national shame, Steve, is audio description on television. Lauren Henley talked about that.
She did, and I would like to publicly commend the work of Lauren. She has done a fantastic job encouraging all of us in the last little while to approach senators who have been involved in this process, and she's made a lot of headway, and she reported on that at the convention, a fantastic report. Not just on that, but on some of the other work that she's been doing around the Albert terminals and other advocacy concerns that the BCA currently has. And I found her presentation really good. She is a really motivated person in the organisation, and she's doing very, very well, and I'd like to thank her for the work she's up to.
Speaking of the Albert Terminal, Steve, John Simpson took us through the theme of the convention from policy to practice, turning words into action. And he talked about some of the areas in which Australia has really fallen down on the job in terms of national policy. The National Disability Strategy was one of those things he talked about. The Commonwealth Bank, and supposedly being the most accessible bank in Australia, not sure about that one.
Don't know.
And there were one or two others. Any comments on that, Steve?
Yeah, well, Vaughan, I think the only thing I could say is a lot of work to be done. And it wasn't just the Commonwealth Bank that was doing this. They have probably been getting the most focus, but that other banks were sort of starting to do similar things, and that we need to be mindful of the fact that it's probably a larger issue than just the Commonwealth Bank when it comes to the Albert terminals, I guess, and it's something that we need to consider with accessibility and needing to have a wider awareness so that other banks didn't kind of go down the same road.
Moving on from that, Steve, Fred Schroeder, did you get the chance to speak to him through the convention?
I didn't, much as I would have liked to have done so. I really enjoyed his keynote address, though, because it was a really interesting address. And for me, I think the take-home message there was he quoted Charles Dickens from A Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And he was sort of, the point he was making was that we live in a world where our lives have never been better. Our opportunities and potential have never been better. The technology's there. We can do anything we like. But we are still facing problems like inaccessibility, touch screens that don't talk, particularly in Australia, the lack of audio description, things like that. It was a really interesting observation. The other important aspect of Fred's address for me, Vaughan, was around making your own life choices, self-determination and judgment, making your own judgment. He talked about the fact that when others make judgment on your behalf, especially around life decisions and choices, that the judgments are often motivated by a low expectation. And in the last week, I've heard this expression floating around, the soft bigotry of low expectation, meaning that people don't really expect much from a blind or vision impaired person. And so it's kind of up to us to set the standard about what we expect for ourselves. And that was a really key message for me. I think that really helped me understand a lot of things about, you know, being a confident blind person in not just in traveling, but in a lot of the decisions that you make in employment, in the kind of lifestyle you want, whether you want to have a family, whether you want to, you know, have a high-powered job, whether you want to use the train rather than a taxi, and when it's appropriate to use a taxi rather than a train, you know, when you travel around as, you know, because I have a second disability, I'm always facing these decisions every day about whether or not it's safe to do one thing or the other, making a judgment that I feel comfortable with and confident with, and that I don't have to go away and analyse later on.
And that leads into, Steve, perhaps the final point for this program. One of the most talked about sessions of the entire convention was the blindness and emotional well-being session, which was held late on the Saturday afternoon. Unfortunately, for various reasons, I wasn't able to attend that particular session. But I was most interested to hear about the discussions.
Yeah, Vaughan, and this is one that I guess did hit nails for me, because I have had times in my life when I've had anxiety, depression, panic attacks. And one of the things that was really interesting was they talked about a number of things. They talked about ways to cope, ways to calm yourself when you're in the middle of a panic attack. Living for the moment is always a good one, because sometimes those anxieties come out of overanalysis and too much inner dialogue. But one of the other interesting ways that one of the panelists talked about was distraction. And I could relate to that, because when I was feeling anxious, oftentimes I would go and do things. Sometimes I was better if I actually had to go to work, or I was better if I could hop on the treadmill or the exercise bike and not have to think about that for an hour or so. I could distract myself with a daydream or just get into the exercise. Finding something, you know, constructive to do to move through that anxiety, and, you know, even if you just push it aside momentarily. One of the other things was that if you are an analytic person and you do spend time evaluating, you know, the things that you do, to just limit that to a certain amount of time per day and then move on. The session was put together very, very well. There was one other session, though, Vaughan, that you haven't mentioned that that kind of touched me as well. On the Saturday after lunch, some people who had attended a summer camp in America called Enchanted Hills Camp, which was in California, and I found that really interesting too, because it seemed like a really good way to get blind and vision impaired people out of, maybe sometimes out of their comfort zone, and into an environment that is maybe something that we wouldn't ordinarily be involved in. And the summer camps in America are a huge part of their culture. Not so much a part of our culture here, but the aim is, I think, to look at ways in which these things could be achieved here. And I guess I mention that because it ties into the whole confidence and well-being and, yeah, a lot of the themes that ran through the convention. I know the convention theme was turning policy into practice, but there were a lot of forums around confidence and well-being. It wasn't just that one, but there were a few others as well. And I think that seemed to be even if it wasn't a listed or a main theme, that seemed to be a secondary one.
Well, Steve, thanks very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Vaughan, for having me. It's been a delight.
And I want to remind you too that Steve's song, the theme from New Horizons, is available from iTunes if you'd like to purchase it. It's not very expensive, and it's raising money for Blind Citizens Australia. Blind Citizens Australia can be contacted, as always, by email on bca@bca.org.au or by telephone on 1-800-033-660. I'm Vaughan Bennison. I do hope you've enjoyed the program. See you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.